Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 26th of October, recording at 9:31 p.m. And it's still British summertime for the remainder of this week. Now, first a quick look at the highlights here today. Asian stock markets, light profit-taking, very light. That's really a pause for the most part. And European stock markets, seesawed a little bit, but before closing with modest gains, mostly under a half a percent. The Americas were firmer. Some good gains on Brazil, up 1.67%. And the U.S. market, having been on the minus side for most of the day, or much of the day, closed with tiny gains. But there was some important action elsewhere. Long-dated government bond prices were hit hard here. The U.S. long bond is currently down 1.1732. That's the price, of course, the futures price. Sterling has had a good day on the better-than-expected GDP figures. It's currently at 158.40 against the U.S. dollar, but that's basically range-bound. But sterling is one of the few currencies showing a gain against the U.S. dollar, which is a little bit steadier in here today. Precious metals had a reasonable day. They were on the downside, then reversed that. Gold is dead flat here at 1339.85 as I speak, but palladium, which has really been the leader of this cycle since that extremely important breakout to the upside in September 2009, well, that's when gold's breakout occurred, but palladium was the upside leader for much of the subsequent move that it followed, and it's resumed that leadership role in here today with a run to a new high for this move. And what else happened here that was significant? I think that's probably, well, I'll come back and talk more about these bond markets because I do think those trends are important. Oh, yes, the grain and bean complex was down early on in the day and then showed some decent gains, paired slightly towards the close, but wheat still had a good day up to, well, spot wheat is up to $6.92. That's up 18 on the day, and it was helped by dry conditions in the U.S. Midwest region, which is a threat to the winter wheat crop. Okay, so what do we make of all this? Well, in terms of global stock markets, we're still in that sweet spot. But we have a short-term overbought condition, which has persisted for a number of weeks. As I said last night, that's not unusual when we get breakouts from very big trading ranges. Those who have attended the chart seminar know that a breakout from a trading range is often an explosion waiting to happen. And the reason for that is because most of the activity converges within the trading range, and that leaves a bit of an air pocket above it and below it. So if you break out to the upside in a demand-dominated environment, as we've seen, that can then hit thin supply for a while at a time when people are short covering and increasing their long positions. So we should not be all that surprised to see this short-term overbought condition. The leaders, again, as I also mentioned last night, have accelerated upwards relative to their rising 200-day moving averages. And that suggests that we will see some mean reversion over the medium term. But that process does not appear to have started yet. It will be signaled when some of those runaway lead markets, such as Malaysia, well, the more orderly leaders, though, would be Indonesia, most of all, Thailand, and the Philippines. And when that orderly step sequence, which has just seen another upside breakout, when that eventually gets an upside failure and a downward dynamic, that will probably mark the beginning of a corrective phase, which I wouldn't be surprised if that spread wider. American investors should keep an eye on those. Well, all investors, all subscribers should keep an eye on those markets. But those who are looking for signs of the next spillover in the U.S. market ought to concentrate, I think, one on the banks, because there are all sorts of concerns resurfacing regarding fraudulent activity in the mortgage market, or just chaotic, shambolic procedure in the mortgage market, and fear of lawsuits. No doubt, there's no smoke without fire, but I don't think this is a humongous disaster. But it certainly has the scope to frighten the markets, and it's getting plenty of bearish coverage here right now. So we ought to watch those banks, because if that S&P 500 banks index does break down, that would be a drag on Wall Street. But if it's one of the leaders that signals the next pause, watch for the NASDAQ. Similar to what I had said for the ASEAN markets, when we see the NASDAQ, which has led this upside move, as technology so often does, when that gets an upside failure and a downward dynamic, that would be another important warning sign. I'll write this up later this week, I trust. I'd meant to do it today, but I've had too many meetings, unfortunately, which are eating into my copy time. But I will get to cover those in the writings. Now, I think I'd be a little careful here in stock markets over the short term. I'm not looking for a big downside move, but we will have at least a reaction, and quite possibly a correction, when this eventually runs out of upside momentum. As I've said to subscribers on so many occasions over the years, if you're thinking of getting out of something, don't do it when the correction has already occurred and people have turned bearish. Do it when markets are pulling up away from their 200-day moving averages, thus indicating that the risk of some mean reversion is increasing. I haven't done any of that myself, but I might do so this time. I certainly wouldn't take an axe to my long-term investment portfolio, but I might prune a little bit here and there, possibly. I'm leaving that option open. Now, government bonds, long-dated government bonds. Well, I have been a fundamental bear for a very long time. The technical evidence has been lacking too often, but we certainly have seen some additional deterioration in here recently. If you go through and look at long-dated government bond futures, the patterns show a combination of what technicians would call double tops, and in a number of instances, we see lower rally highs, and some previous support levels are under pressure, not least with US Treasuries. When I say I've been a fundamental bear for a long time, I think the yields are derisory under any conditions other than severe deflation, bordering on depression, and I don't think we're going to get that, as I've mentioned on so many occasions. So I wouldn't repeat all the reasons. Now, We want to watch out next Tuesday. We get the Fed statement, and I think the market is discounted quite a hefty degree of quantitative easing. And if that doesn't occur or isn't confirmed, and I would not be surprised if it is not confirmed, that may cause some additional weakness in the long-dated government bond markets. That is, if they don't discount it between now and Tuesday, and they certainly were discounting some disappointment here today. That might also weaken precious metals a bit, and not least if it led to a steadier dollar. Those are all possibilities. I don't think they will disrupt. I don't think it's an event that could disrupt the primary secular trend, however. But I am looking for a little bit of turbulence in the not too distant future, following what has been a period of one-way traffic for many of these markets. But I'm glad to have a some short positions in the U.S. Treasuries. Owen shorted the Canadian bond market here today, and I think he's on a winner on a winner there. And all the we're getting commonality here. All the long-dated government bond markets, with the exception of JGBs, look like the futures are now beginning to see some selling pressure, and the JGBs are ludicrously overvalued, in my opinion. Elsewhere, and I forgot to mention this in the introduction or in the review of highlights, but the dollar has rallied against the yen. It's currently up to 81.46, and it has been 20 points higher. But this action amounts to a downside failure. And if we get a break up above 82 tomorrow or later this week, and that wouldn't surprise me, that will provide further evidence that the dollar has bottomed out against the Japanese yen. I'm a stale bear of the yen, but holding on to my positions. Stale bear because I took more of a fundamental than technical view, and which is always risky. But I just couldn't believe, and I haven't been able to believe the incompetence of the Japanese in trying to weaken the yen, which by most accounts they clearly would like to do. I see endless articles on how impossible or difficult this is to do, and it's all rubbish. If I were in charge of the BOJ and had a free hand, I mentioned this before, I would hit the market with some intervention, squeeze the bears a bit, in other words, and squeeze the yen bulls, that is. And then I would announce that I was ready and willing to print however many yen were required to weaken it. And, I would wager that the market would do that for me, and push it back into the 90s region. And any intervention activity at these levels here, and I'm talking about 81.46 today, would lead to a trading profit, a significant trading profit for the BOJ. So that's the way you do it. Don't believe all that nonsense that there is no way to weaken a currency. It's the easiest thing for a central bank to achieve. Just ask Ben Bernanke. Now, elsewhere, this green and bean complex still looks good to me. And the wheat story is interesting. I'm of the technical opinion that wheat needs to run again to the upside to really ignite the whole sector. Once again, because wheat was the earlier leader and it has lagged recently, so today's somewhat greater strength is an interesting development. And other possibilities, well, commodities. There some of these gains are overextended overall, but I've said all along that we face some commodity price inflation. You can certainly see it in the charts. It's not all due to the US dollar. And it's not so pronounced that it will cause big problems or big worries, but people are beginning to talk about it in addition to what Fuller Money's been pointing out for a number of weeks now. And that will help to weigh on government bond markets, I feel. And also junk bonds, those are lousy value or high risk in my opinion. Okay, that looks like a wrap at this stage. Roll on Wednesday. Meanwhile, all the best to all of you. Owen will be doing the audio tomorrow. I'll be back on Thursday.